How do we connect up today? How do we connect up in our world? How do we do it? Come on, tell me some ways that we connect up. By phone. Okay, what else? I'm sorry. Social media. For those of that are on Facebook, yes, social media. Work. Email. Coffee shop. Oh, yes. Oh, give me some of that. Yes, brother. I'm sorry? Texting, that's all part of, yeah. Gathering together here. Yeah. What are other ways that we kind of, coffee shops are a good hint to it. What about just gathering together and coming together like we do? I'm sorry, Harry? Having dinners together, amen, right? Or lunch, or breakfast. I'm good for any of those. I like all three meals. In fact, sometimes I'm even a hobbit, and I have a couple of breakfasts in the morning. Or a couple lunches, Yeah, there's something in connection with food and fellowship, isn't there? It's the thing that they say helps every church to really connect up, and that is to have food and fellowship. Because when you break bread together, you kind of relax and you get to talk and just sit around like people and actually connect with each other, meet with each other, take time out for each other, So those are all good. Those are all good. Okay, so that's how we connect with each other. How do we connect with God? Does God want us to connect with him, first of all? Yes? Everybody would agree that the answer to that one would be yes, right? So how do we connect up with God? Through his word, prayer, worship, praise, being still. Wow. That's a huge answer, huh? In this world, how can we be still? What are you talking about? That's a mighty order, isn't it? To be still before God. So we all agree that God wants us to connect up with him. And would you say that it's also God's desire? I'm not going to try to suppose anything here, but do you think it's God's desire that we connect up with each other? Is it? Only if we have things in common, right? No. Really? Huh. So we're to come together as like a church, and we're actually to fellowship. We're supposed to enjoy each other's company, right? Even though I may not like your messy personality, and you may not like mine. It's okay. I get to preach. You don't. No, we are. We're called into fellowship with God. We're also called to connect with each other. Let's read this Ephesians passage, chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Today's lesson's called Tribal Connections, in case you didn't guess that so far. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, Paul's trying to show the Ephesians that there is a connection between all of them. Okay? So, you are no longer what? Foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's household. So, is that what connects all of us together now? See, we're all part of God's household, right? You may be tall, I may be short, you may be whatever. There are no differences in God's household. We come together as one. We are united as one. And because of that, we have a great empowerment given to us, because wherever two or three are gathered in his name, what happens? God shows up. And if God shows up, he doesn't just show up just to, okay, I'm here. What do you want? No, God shows up because he wants to do something. God wants to move in you today. How many of you believe that? Okay, how many would you rather believe God's going to move in my neighbor today, the person sitting next to me? Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's household. Built, what's that 2-0 thing, 20? Oh, verse 20. Oh, okay. Boom. Okay, see, I've got them in little numbers, so I was like, thanks for helping me figure that out. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ, Jesus himself, as a chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being dwelt together, built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You're no longer foreigners, aliens. You're fellow citizens with God's household. And the only test that you had to pass was a test of faith. Do you put your faith in what Jesus Christ has done? Because that's what issues you into the very household of God. Amen? We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What does that phrase mean? Well, this is the foundation of the apostles and prophets. This. We are based on the truth of God's word. We are built up by that. So thus, it's really commanded of God that we read our Bible every day, that we become very efficient at the information that is inside this book. Why? Because it's the way that God speaks to us. So many people, oh, I just don't hear from God. And I ask them, how much are you reading of God's word? And it's not really how much, but are you letting the words into your own holy temple? Are you letting them in? Are you really grinding on them? Lord, I'm reading this passage, but what does it mean to me? We are built on the foundation of apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together. We have one mortar that holds all of us little bricks together, Jesus Christ. And we rise up to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his what? He lives by his Spirit. Last week, I proposed to you that this is the Spirit of God. A lot of us don't understand, okay, what's the Spirit of God? What is that about? It's not a Casper the Ghost kind of a thing. It's not, you know, but what is the Spirit of God? Well, this is the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God inspired the men to write these words that came from God himself. And so when we know more about this book, then the Spirit of God tends to come within us. And we get a greater understanding of who he is and what he's about and what he desires for us to do. So if we ignore the Word of God, we're not really going to be filled with the Word of God. And thus, we won't be filled with the power of his Spirit, because it's the power of his Spirit that when you get into a situation that you go, wait a minute, this truth in God's word says, Jesus proved that to us when he was tempted in the desert after his baptism. Satan tried to come along and he tried to tempt him into falling, and every time Jesus rebuked him with the word of God. You see, and that's our weapon. That was Jesus' weapon of choice. It's also our weapon, but also understand this. Satan knows these words, and he will twist them. If you don't know them, he will twist them and get you to think about things that are not of God's kingdom. Amen? So here's your first fill-in. Number one, Christ is the cornerstone. We are built on truth, connected to and rising to become a holy temple in which God lives by His Spirit. A holy temple. Does that mean that we all go about going, oh, that it's some kind of weird? No. Or that all of a sudden I'm above all the rest of you. You know, you don't really exist. It's just me and God. No. A holy temple means one that is cleansed. You remember when Jesus walked into the temple and he saw the den of robbers and thieves, those who were distorting what God's temple was supposed to be used for, and he fashioned together a whip and he drove them out of there. Why? He says, because my house, my Father's house, will become a house of prayer for all people. And it can't be a house of prayer when it's all about the business of the world. See, we need to be people that come and seek after God. John 16, verse 13. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Spirit. Here's the Greek word, just in case you come across somebody that can only speak Greek or King James. Had to throw that out there. I just had to. I don't know. Parakletos. Parakletos. And that means an advocate, a consoler, or an intercessor. When you are up against some troubles and you don't know where to turn, how many of you have turned to God's Word and all of a sudden something that you are reading just jumps off the page at you and you go, whoa, that's the way I deal with this issue? You see, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's also a consoler. Man, there are times when I am just beside myself in either grief or stress or some situation, some circumstance, and I'll go and I'll bury myself in the Word of God to have it speak to me and my book of choice when I'm in places like that is Psalms. Because there's absolutely nothing that you can go through, even in today's time, that is not covered by the book of Psalms. That you will gather strength from that and you will be consoled. That is a Spirit of God from these pages speaking and giving ministry unto you. An intercessor. An intercessor. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He said, there are times when I don't know how to pray. Any of you ever feel that way? You just don't know how to pray? And Paul goes on in that verse to say, but He, the Holy Spirit, makes utterances or words that connect with God when my mind cannot conceive of the words to do that, and yet the Spirit within me connects with the Spirit of God connecting to the Holy Father, and somehow it gets thrown up to God. What is really troubling me? The Spirit conveys that for me. He's my intercessor, just like Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, and He's interceding for you as well. Why? Because they want you to walk in victory with the Father. Everything that the Holy Spirit and that Jesus did was to direct us into a relationship with God. When Jesus gave up His final breath, what happened? There was this tent that was fashioned together that surrounded the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. And that curtain that had seven layers was torn from the top to the bottom so that it would not look like any man had come in there and done that. Instead, it was the hand of God who came down and tore that separation apart. Why? So that you and I can come into the Holy of Holies at any time, at any place. 24/7, 365. We have access to God Almighty, all by the blood of Jesus Christ. By His sacrifice. See, we no longer have to wait just for one day out of the year to come and bring our blood sacrifices to the great priest and have him divide that all up. No, we have a great priest. His name is Jesus Christ. And he has provided the sacrifice to allow each and every one of us access to his Father. Anytime. Anytime. Any place. How else can you be in the most dire of needs and say just the shortest prayer, God, help me? And God does. Of course, nobody in this room has had that happen, right? You're such a teaser. We're connected. We're rising to become a holy temple in which God lives by His Spirit. You see, we can have all sorts of programs. We can try to put off the greatest musical ensemble up here. We can have the greatest voices. We could have programs that meet every need of every person that ever attends the Mountain Valley Church of God. But if it's not done in the Spirit and in the power of God, we're just keeping ourselves busy. If what we do, what we say, and what we are about are not about bringing the Spirit of God here, then we're in the wrong business. I've had some really twisted theological people that have tried to visit our church, and they've come in and they go, well, are you full of the Spirit? That's their first question. Is this a Spirit-filled church? And I go, man, if it's not, I'm out of here. You know, I don't want a church that's not being led by the Spirit of God. And of course, that answer is not good enough for them. Well, no. What we mean is, do you all speak in tongues? No, we all speak English here. It's not necessary to speak in tongues because we all understand each other because we all speak English. If God wanted me to speak India, whatever that is called, or Burmese or Portuguese or some other language, well, then He would empower me because there would be somebody that was here that needed to hear the Word of God in that language. You see, it's not some bobbly, bobbly, blah, blah, blah. It is bringing the truth of God's Word to people who understand God's Word. Understand that? So, do we speak in tongues? Well, if God needs us to, we will. But tongues are not a sign for believers. They're a sign for unbelievers. That's what the Bible teaches. You can check it out, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It gives you a whole good teaching. In fact, 12 to 14 talks about the gift and the use of tongues. But if there, that does not mean that we won't allow someone to speak in some known language here. But if they do, there better be an interpreter. Because God is a God of order, not disorder. We're not going to just all jump on board a train and everybody start going off in some gobbledygook and nobody knows if God's getting praised or not. So, are we a Spirit-filled church? Yes, we are. Does that mean that we're going to assign an empowerment to everybody to start speaking in tongues? No, we're not going to do that. As the Spirit gives unto each one. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts. It's not us who desire it. It's the Holy Spirit that gives each and every gift to each and every person. So it's as He directs it. Why I had to go off into that, I do not know. Let's go into Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, I've heard some people do some exegesis on this scripture, and oh my, we can read all sorts of things into this. But what I want you to get out of it today is, as a prisoner for the Lord. Prisoner. What does it mean to be a prisoner for the Lord? Why does Paul want to call himself a prisoner? As a prisoner for the Lord. Prisoner means one who chooses to bind themselves to the Lord. And you either choose to bind yourself to the Lord, or you choose to bind yourself to the gods of the land. God gives you that choice. Who it is that you are going to bind yourself to. Now, if I had a rope up here and I asked some willing victim to come up and we tied each other up, we would be doing what? We'd be binding ourselves to each other, right? And that's what Paul is talking about here. He is going to be bound to the Lord. Can you picture yourself being bound up to the Lord? Wherever you go, whatever you do, we're going to go through it together. Through thick and through thin, all out and all in. Why? Are you a prisoner for the Lord? Are you living a life worthy of the calling that you have received? And then this is the evidence of it. You're completely humble and gentle. Okay, I'm out of the ball game right there. How about you? Because we also have to be truthful, right? Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Well, things just aren't going the way I want them to go. So, bear with each other in love. But make every effort. I like, if you got a pen, underline every. Make every effort to do what? To keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Here's your fill-in number two. A building's cohesive strength is based on a solid foundation and truthful construction. A building's cohesive strength is based on unified foundation and truthful construction. So, if we're not unified in what it is that we're called to do, and this person over here has an idea of how we should be pursuing God, and this person over here has another idea of how we should be pursuing God, and this person over here has even another idea, then are we really in unity? So how do we have unity then in that? How do we have unity in what it is that God purposes for Mountain Valley Church, for this tribe? How do we know what our tribal goal is? What it is that we are really supposed to be all about and all in? The Spirit of God shows us. When we come together in prayer and we seek what God's will is for this church together. You see, those words that Jesus spoke when he threw out those people who were dirtying up his Father's house, he said, "My Father's house will be a house of prayer." In other words, we all come together not with our ideas and our sanctions of what we think, well, this built a church in the past, so it must build a church today. No. What is going to build Mountain Valley is a cohesive group of people who will come together and seek God's face for what Mountain Valley Tribe should be doing and how we should be reaching out to others. You see, because the mandate is first what? Love God with all that you are. Heart, soul, mind, strength, right? And then the next mandate. So that's our connection to God. We're to connect with him and love him with everything we are. And then next. And this isn't a, you know, well, I like the first part, but the second part I don't quite get. I don't really want to bow my knee to that truth. No. You can't pick and choose what commands you have. God says, love me with everything you are, and love one another. It's not up to your choice. It's a command, folks. We are to love one another. How can I love you if I don't know who you are? If I don't spend any time with you and you don't spend any time with me, how can I truly love you? Well, I love you in the perfect love of Christ, of course. You know, I love you because you love Christ. And that's fine at that level. But honestly, he's called us together to be a building that rises to be holy and a temple for God, for his presence, for his ability to show up and to show off. Because that's what God wants to do. Mark 13:31 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Why? Because he would be speaking death to the Holy Spirit. And God's not going to do that. Why? Because they are in unity as a triunity. 1 Peter 2:10 from the New Living Translation. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. What is Peter writing there? What tense? Is it a future tense? Or is it a present tense? Or is it a past tense? Which is it? Come on, you English majors. Once you had no identity, that was past tense, right? Now you are God's people. In other words, it's done. It's done. You are God's people. Once you had received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. No hallelujahs in the group? I mean, honestly, folks, before you hadn't received mercy, now you received God's mercy. How many of you desire for God's mercy? Amen? I'm going to let this video take us out. If you can bring the lights down, pop up this video. This is by Ryan Stevenson. It's a no matter what. If you're feeling separated from God, if you're not feeling quite tight to him yet, I invite you during the song, these altars are open, or just where you are, just have someone pray for you and over you. Let this be a time when God's Holy Spirit just does something great and releases you as a prisoner to whatever is holding you back from being all in for God, no matter what.